The following is a message live recording of Sean Yost and Blake Bennett of Youthquake Live, a ministry committed to seeing young people be used by God to reach a generation. Thank you for listening. For more information on our live events, please visit youthquakelive.com.
What if God didn't belong in our city? It would be a desolate land, meant to stand on the foundation of Christ, but instead has fallen on the foundation of sand. No hope, no joy, no peace, no savior to lean on. Instead, we boast in our fake strength. How could you truly be strong? Without a sacrifice, we would truly experience pain and pity. Hard to imagine, but I know that God belongs in my city. By jobs and schools, God belongs in the system. But there's an anti-Christ movement. Now's the time for soldiers to rise up for the resistance. Together we stand praising the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ our Commander-in-Chief. Now's the time to prepare for war. No loss, no draw, because in Him we have victory. This is why God belongs in my city. So we walk these streets proud, loud as the trumpet sounds. The body of Christ united with feet firmly grounded in the grace of God, leaving non-believers astonished that God loves you so much. Every hair in your head is accounted with a light that outshines the dark in every aspect of life. If you tell me prayer don't work, I'm telling you that you ain't asking them right. It all started with the billboard and atheist campaign. A million New Yorkers are good without God. Are you? That's a million New Yorkers that are up in flames. A disturbing stat with which no Christian should be okay. That's when the movement began, fasting, walking, and pray. So we pray for our city, anticipating the change. I can hear the celebration in heaven from the amount of broken chains. Started in the subway station and now we're making moves across the nation. This is the time to fight, not to start being complacent. We're not talking about evolution, but the one sun, the solution for the whole city to see. A televised revolution brought to you by dream teams and special committees. My house stands as one. God belongs in my city.
Tonight, we set the example for an entire generation.
We were born for such a time as this, a chosen people serving an all-powerful Savior who stepped into human history and changed everything.
See, age is no excuse, whether young or old. See, we're a chosen city inside of a city for the sake of a city.
Each of us perfectly formed and placed in God's master plan.
And this is our declaration.
I declare that I will not fear the risk of losing comfort or personal preference in the pursuit of fulfilling my God-given destiny.
I will not choose empty promises of temporary satisfaction in exchange for the Holy Spirit's work in my life.
I choose to listen to the voice of truth above all other voices in this world.
Believing that our work is not yet finished, I choose to look beyond myself and demonstrating God's love to the unreached people of the world.
I will choose God's best for myself and the ones I love by first rooting my identity in Christ.
I believe God wants to use me now. I will not wait until I have it all together to boldly proclaim the love of Jesus.
And I proclaim my ending will not be one given by man, but by God.
And I declare that whatever the cost, we will take our city for the glory of God.
So hey, are you guys having a good time? Well, you know, we're this city, man, we're really blessed in this city. It's like the churches in this city, it's like a family. The way churches come together, there's a lot of unity. I don't know if you know that, man, but just the way the pastors pray for each other, support one another, host things like Youthquake Live, it's like we're a big family. And I love being a part of a family, don't you? And so, in fact, matter of fact, I just got to say this because this is so rare for me, but some of my family are actually here visiting tonight from North Carolina. My aunt, Benny, and my sister, Heather, and my brother-in-law, Jim, are visiting from North Carolina. And you guys, just stand up real quick. Just stand up real fast. Just stand up so they know that they're your real people. Okay. So they're from North Carolina. And, you know, it's very easy for me when I get around them for, like, my accent to kick back in. Because, you know, North Carolina has a specific accent, doesn't it? They don't have, they said no. All of us have accents. So they don't have one-syllable words, North Carolina. Every word has two syllables. So when we're having dinner with Jim and Heather, it's not Jim pass the bread, it's Jim pass the bread. So you got two syllables, Jim and bread. So... So, man, I'm just so happy to have them here tonight and being a part of this with us. And, you know, there's a message in every single month, in every single show, and what we're trying to communicate. And the message tonight is very simple, and it comes right out of Acts chapter 17. And it says, they have turned this city upside down. So what's happening in this passage in Acts is the disciples that have been with Jesus, and have been preaching everywhere have come into this town, and they're dragging them out in front of everybody, and they're like, hey, these are the ones that have turned the city upside down, and now they've come here also. And here was the idea behind this that the cast had and that we had is, we want to turn this city upside down. We want the people out there to be saying that about us, that this generation of young people, these are the ones that turned this city upside down. Do you believe God could use you to do that? And so we believe it too. And now when you are a part of this kind of thing, and when you're a part of a church or you're a part of a movement or you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that there is spiritual warfare, that we have an enemy. And that our enemy, his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what his mission is, to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Now, how many of you, if somebody broke into your house, what would you do? Would you just like, hey, yeah, take whatever? Or would you, maybe you would do that, I don't know. But most people would do whatever it takes to stop that person, right? Wouldn't you do whatever it takes to stop that person? So if somebody was breaking into my house, I would do whatever it takes to stop that person. I would say to my wife, Barb, go get him. Just kidding. So, hey, did y'all like that skit with the guy that was like dressed in a sheet and he was like talking about the story of Hanai? And his name is Zach, and it's fun to watch Zach because he laughs at himself. He just like, you don't even have to be here. He's just gonna have fun all by himself and laugh at himself. And it's interesting for us because every time we see him do a skit, it's never the same. And so in practice, we'll say, Zach, don't say this, say that. Okay, Sean Yost. And he always says Sean Yost like that. Okay, Sean Yost. And then he gets on the stage and he doesn't say that. He says something else. But it's different every time, and it's always good and entertaining. And that skit had a point. And I don't know if you understood what the point was, but it actually comes straight out of this true book. It's called the Book of Legends. In the first century BC, there was this rabbi named Honi. And he was well known for being a person that just prayed no matter what. Now, what you need to understand at this point in history, the people of God had not heard from God in almost 400 years. God had been silent. So the people could not hear God. But Honi believed that even though they couldn't hear God, that God could hear them. And he kept praying. And there was this drought. And this is written down in the Book of Legends. And there was a drought. And they went to this sage. And they asked him what they should do. And he came out and he prayed. And he literally took his staff. And he drew a circle around himself. And he knelt down in it. And he threw his arms up in the air. And he cried out to God for rain. He cried out to God that he would have mercy on these people. And that he would bring rain. And chills went down the spines of people as they began to see clouds roll in. And as it began to rain. And then he said, this isn't the kind of rain I prayed for. I prayed for like a downpour. And it started raining harder and harder. And so this became known as, he became known as the circle maker and the rain maker. And so the idea of that skit was to say, what we need to do is from God's promises, we need to find promises of God that apply to us and take our stand right there. And figuratively draw a circle around it. And that's what that skit was about. And so all these skits, whether you knew it or not, had a point. What about the Badia skit? Remember the Badia skit? Okay. So that skit had a point. Badia and Tyler, you know, the spiritual trainer. And he was so funny. He said some of the lines. I don't know if you caught some of the funny lines that he said. But he comes out and they're doing this training. And the whole point was to be spiritually fit. It's not just enough to always focus on the outward appearance. You need to work on being spiritually fit. And then the dance, remember the dance, the high top girls? And their message was, we have to tell the world. It's our job. It's our responsibility. We have to be the ones to take a stand to tell everybody. And sometimes we're so concerned about not offending people that we don't want to say anything. Have you guys ever experienced that? You don't want to offend somebody, so you don't say anything. And I saw this quote from Billy Graham recently where he said, our society strives so hard to avoid the possibility of offending anyone except God. He's the only one we don't worry about offending. Well, we need to take a stand and we need to tell somebody. And then the SpongeBob skit. You guys obviously got the point of the SpongeBob skit, right? The starfish, and that it matters if it's just to that one. And the whole point of that skit is you matter. You make a difference. What you do matters. And you make a difference right now, even if it's just to one person. And the bench skit that you just saw, talking about what we can do in so many different ways to make a difference right here in our city. But there's one more skit we want to do for you. And I'm asking them to go ahead and come on out and get ready. Because as I was asking you, if somebody attacked your house, what you would do? You would protect it. Or you see these old movies where somebody comes in to pillage a city and, you know, they want to defend their city, right? So let's think in terms of spiritual warfare, okay? So we know that we have an enemy, and it's like we've got this, it's like there's this monster. Wait, don't look at them yet. Here, come over here. Y'all come over here. Look over here. Okay, they're not really there. No, y'all don't come over here. Y'all stay there. So spiritual warfare, and it's like I was walking through a difficult circumstance in the last couple years, and I remember as I was walking through it, God had given me a verse in Joshua that was like, don't look to the right or the left, but you just keep going, you stay focused. And as I was doing that, it was like things would happen to this side to like intimidate me or to knock me off course. And then things would happen to this side, but if you could use your imagination, it was like sometimes it would show up like a big scary monster just going, rah, teeth like that, spit going like this, my hair is flying over like this, and I'm like looking at it trying to like stay on course. And then I get past that one, I'm got past that one. And then over here, it's like then there's like this, you know, another little person like saying, hey, come this way, and you want to go that way. And you're like, no, it's all doing the same thing, trying to get you off course. You got to stay focused. So sometimes it feels like that, though, like a big monster, right? And so This is supposed to be like the city of Jacksonville. And so what would we do if there was a big monster attacking our city? And that's what this skit is about. So Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer. And sometimes we try everything else except, man, just crying out to God. And that's really what we're talking about tonight and then tomorrow with God Belongs in My City, is to say, hey, let's get together and cry out to God. Let's get together and take a stand and say, hey, this is our city. And we're not just going to let it get pillaged by the enemy. We're not going to just let our families be, we're going to be the ones to take a stand for our families and not just sit back and watch them fall apart. And that's what this whole show is about. It's about young people taking a stand and making a difference. Instead of complaining or blaming someone else, how about we be the ones to make a difference? You know, let's take responsibility for ourselves and for our families. When we hear something going on in our family and our parents are going through a difficult time, instead of complaining about it and blaming them for all of our problems, how about we be the ones to fall on our knees and pray for them? How about we be the ones to take a stand? That's what it's about. Revolutions are never started by old people. Revolutions are always started by young people. And now, I do have to say this. The Bible says that the wisdom of old men, the strength of old men is their wisdom, and the strength of young men is, the glory of young men is their strength. The glory of old men is their wisdom. The glory of young men is their strength, their zeal, their passion. But I did back years ago, I was a part of the Billy Graham evangelistic crusade here in Jacksonville, and they announced that they were going to be having a senior citizens rally. And so I was like, what is that like, you know? And I was working for like the youth program and I'm like, a senior citizens rally? I'm just having a hard time picturing this, you know? And so I'm like, what did they do at a senior citizens rally? You know, I'm trying to picture them in there with their walkers, you know, going, we're not gonna take it, you know? And not to be disrespectful at all, but I just couldn't imagine it. Because the only experience I'd had with older people and any kind of passion and zeal was something like this. When I was 18 years old, I had all this energy, all this zeal, all this passion for the Lord and commitment and just dreaming of the things that God could do in my life and willing to go anywhere for God. And we were having all these all-night prayer meetings and we're seeking God and we're praying all these things. And I remember this older person pulling me aside one time and saying, you know, it's cool that you have all that zeal, but you'll mature. Yeah, you'll mature. And I was like, is that not how you say it? Mature? Thank you, front row. You'll mature. And I remember thinking, if maturing means being lame, then I don't want to be mature. But I found out that you can be mature and still have zeal. And when I went to this senior citizens rally, I was surprised because I saw it. These older people were so on fire. And you know what they got really on fire for? Chick-fil-A. I'm not even kidding. The cow came and he's throwing things and these senior citizens are diving over each other to get these coupons and these cows. I was like, wow, they do have zeal. But typically, revolutions are started by young people. And when you look at statistically the things that have happened in our country, the adult generation is not going to change it. If it's going to change, it's got to be you guys. You have to be the ones to change things. You have to be the ones to make a difference, and you can do that. Imagine what God could do with just this group of teenagers right here. If just this group right here, and there's teenagers still all over the city, but if just this group right here so fired up for God and just obeyed God and honoring our parents and serving our church and being generous in the things that God's given us and sharing our testimony and loving people, imagine the difference it would make in this city. Have you ever, think about it like this, I wanted to bring like this big bucket out here with water in it, and then just take like a little rock and throw it in there, and take another little rock and throw it in there, another little rock and throw it in there, and each time you throw a little rock in there, it makes like a little plop, right? But if we took a giant bag of rocks and we threw it all in there at one time, it makes a huge splash. And so when we can come together in unity like that, when we can join with one another, we can make a huge impact in this city. And it's going to take every church and every youth group and every youth ministry like Young Life and like Youthquake and like FCA and like Student Venture. It's going to take every youth ministry in this city and every church in this city to really make a difference. But God can use you guys to do it. Look what God did just with 12 people that sold out completely to him. God can use you the same way. So back to the story of Honai real quick. The rabbi that prayed for rain, and the idea of taking a stand and drawing a circle around God's promise for you and praying for something. One of the lessons that, couple of the lessons that you can learn from the scriptures and from that story is that God's promises don't have expiration dates, and that prayers never die. Now, when you pray for something, it doesn't just go away. Right? That prayer is there. And I'll give you two examples. So back to when I was 18 years old, and me and my friend Ron John were having these all-night prayer meetings. And we took a little prayer journal, and we journaled it, and we wrote the stuff down that we prayed for. I forgot all about it. Years later, I got married, Ron got married, and he called me one day. This is maybe 5 years later. He called me. He says, "Sean, guess what?" I said, "What?" He goes, "I found our old prayer journal when we used to get together and pray on Friday nights." I'm like, "Really? That's awesome." He goes, and now he's like getting choked up on the phone. He goes, "You're not going to believe it." I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Sean, I went through that prayer journal, and every single thing we wrote down and we prayed for has happened. Like, God answered our prayers." And he started reading them to me. And I had forgotten that we prayed some of those things. And that years later, the answer happened. Let me give you another example. True story, back in the late 1980s, in what was at the time called the Soviet Union. And it had been illegal since 1917 for people to be Christians. Bibles had been confiscated, churches had been destroyed or taken over by the government, and they had literally had warehouses full of people's Bibles. And now, in the late 1980s, when things started to fall apart and communism started to fall apart, they had this new movement called Glasnost and Perestroika, where they're opening things up, right? And they started clearing out some of these warehouses. And they started making religion a little more free again. And so this Soviet soldier was in clearing out one of those warehouses. And he'd been moving all these crates of Bibles. And he was pretty hot, and he was kind of tired, been working all day, so he sat down in this one crate to have a drink of water, and he just picked up one of the Bibles that was sitting beside him. He just picked it up just to take a look at it. Never seen a Bible. So he just starts flipping through it and reading it. He's reading different parts of it. It had been underlined, and he's reading some of the underlined parts. And then he flips to the back, and he reads a handwritten prayer that someone had written for their family. For their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Then he flips back to the front of the Bible, and he sees the name that was in the Bible, and it was his great-grandmother. Out of all those Bibles and all those warehouses, he sat down, and he picked up a Bible belonging to his great-grandmother and read a prayer that his great-grandmother had prayed for him. And at that moment, he got down on his knees, and he prayed to God, that God would show him the way and reveal himself to him, and that began his journey towards becoming a believer and a follower of Jesus, because prayers never die. So what we're talking about with this show tonight is we can make a difference. And what we want you to do is tonight we want you to make a declaration, yes, but we want to join with other people tomorrow down at God Belongs in My City downtown, And we had this vision of what would it be like in the city, in the heart of the city, in the heart of Jacksonville, if teenagers came down there in the middle of the city and took a stand and said, we're going to take a stand for our city. This is our city. And we're not just going to let the violence continue. We're not going to let the drug trends continue. We're going to take a stand. We're not going to let the divorce continue. Duval County has a 74% divorce rate. 74 out of 100 marriages end in divorce. What we're going to do is we're going to say, we're going to change that. We're going to make a difference, and our prayers can make a difference. Now, you don't have to be there tomorrow to pray that, but we're inviting you to be there tomorrow to pray that. You can pray that right now tonight. You can take a stand right now. That's what we're encouraging you to do and inviting you to do. Let's make a difference. Let's not just sit back and watch it happen. Let's do something about it. So, what in your life right now? I got two questions for you, and then we're gonna bring the band out. What do you need to draw a circle around in your life personally? What's some area that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, that you're worried about, that you're concerned about? Instead of just worrying about it and being concerned about it, what is something you can do? You can find a scripture. You can find some promise in God's word that you can draw a circle around that for your family. And I know that I've done that for my family, and I know that I've done that in many areas of my life where I've struggled with something. You know, and so you find that promise, and you stand on it, and you just keep praying it, even when you don't hear the answer right away. In fact, I was just sharing this with the cast earlier tonight, but there's a story in the Bible where this lady comes to Jesus, and she says, Jesus, please have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed. And Jesus completely ignores her. He doesn't even acknowledge her. And she keeps on saying it and bothering them so much, the disciples come, and they say, Jesus, tell her to leave us alone. She's annoying everybody. And so she falls down in front of Jesus, and she says, God, please, Jesus, have mercy on me and on my daughter. And Jesus says, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. Is it right to share the children's food with their dogs? And she said, yes, but even the dogs get crumbs that fall from the master's table. So the lesson there is, for her, maybe you feel like her, and you feel like he's ignored you. Maybe you feel like he's not hearing your prayer. You just keep on praying, and you just keep putting your trust in him. You draw your circle around that promise, and you don't give up. Prayers never die. What's some area that you need to draw a circle around in your life right now? What declaration do you need to make? And at the end, on the left side of each row underneath, there's like some note cards. And what I want to encourage you to do in a minute is just take those that little sticky pad thing and take one down and pass it down to everybody. And if there's not any there, the cast are going to be bringing some around, and you can raise your hand and they'll bring you one. And there's pens in the seats in front of you. And we just want to encourage you to write some of these things down for yourself. And you're going to take this with you tonight. You're not going to bring it up. You're just going to keep it. Acts chapter 17, the Bible says, these that have turned the world upside down have come here now also. I want you to think about something. How did they have so much conviction? How did they have so much fire? These disciples that were about to be arrested, these disciples that would eventually preach the gospel to the point where they were martyred, they lost their lives for what they believed and for what they were preaching. These same men had been with Jesus on this earth. They walked with him. They heard him preach. They heard him preach with authority like nobody ever had preached. They saw the miracles that he did. They saw right in front of their eyes prophecies being fulfilled. They knew this was the Messiah. They knew it. Even Peter one time, Jesus said to Peter, you know, who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus said, man, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. He had a revelation from God of who Jesus was. And yet Peter, even though he had walked with Jesus, saw the miracles, prophecy fulfilled, and had a revelation from God of who Jesus was, when Jesus was arrested, Peter ran away and denied that he knew Jesus. So now in the book of Acts, Peter is preaching the gospel, even when he gets arrested. Peter would ultimately be crucified on a cross upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus did. So how would Peter all of a sudden now have so much conviction that he would preach it all the way to his death when the same guy who walked with him, talked with him, saw his miracles, prophecies fulfilled, and had a revelation from God, denied that he knew him and ran away? What changed? What made the difference? What changed is Peter saw Jesus risen from the dead. Peter saw Jesus die and he saw him alive again. All these disciples, they knew it was real. What had changed is Jesus rose from the dead. It changed everything. You could see the difference in the way they behaved, from scared, thinking they were just a part of a great movement, and getting so scared that they ran away and hid and denied the new Jesus, to the point where now they're preaching, no matter, even if they get threatened to be arrested, they said, fine, go ahead and arrest us, because we can't be quiet, because here's what happened. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We witnessed this with our own eyes. We can't be quiet. Because Tim Keller, who's a pastor up in New York, he said this. He said, if Jesus rose from the dead, nothing else matters. He is who he is. And if Jesus really rose from the dead, then we just got to do what he said, because it's real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus really rose. And you see the way that it changed the disciples. In fact, that was the thing that made the difference. And they even said one time when they were questioning some of the disciples, and they recognized these are just untrained, unschooled, ordinary men. And they took note they had been with Jesus. For us to make a difference, you guys, it's going to have to come from that relationship with Jesus, from being with Jesus. It all has to start there. For us to see things change in our family, it has to start with me surrendering my own life first. For us to see things change in our schools and in our city, it's going to start with each one of us yielding our own life first and then reaching each person one at a time. The way we're going to change a city is not going to be through legislation. Wilberforce, William Wilberforce, who was the heart behind abolishing slavery in Europe, he said the way to change culture is to change men's hearts. You have to change people's hearts one at a time. And it starts with us changing our hearts right now. Would you guys take that card that hopefully they pass that down? If you didn't get one, you can raise your hand and a cast member will bring you one. I want you to take that, and I want you to write down either where you need to draw a circle around God's promise in your life, or what declaration you need to make for yourself, the kind of person that you're going to be. We got some people down here raising their hands. You guys, if cast members can come over here with some of the cards. And we're just going to take a minute and do that. I'm going to pray, and while they're passing some of these cards out, let's just pray together. God, show each one of us right now, just reveal to us the areas of our life where we need to stand on your promise for our family, for our future, for our city, for ourselves. God, I pray that you would show us the kind of declarations that we need to make a difference. Go ahead and write that down, and I want you to hold on to these and put it in your Bible, put it on your mirror in the morning, put it in your car, rearview mirror, wherever you're going to see it on a regular basis. Now, after you have had a chance to write that down, would you guys just stand with me? And I have a couple more questions, and then the band's going to lead us in some worship. So a few years ago, my wife Barb and I had a chance to go with a friend on, he had like a small private plane, and we had a chance to go on that plane with him somewhere. And at one point, while we're flying in the air, he told me to take the controls and so start flying the plane. And so I'm like, Barb's in the back seat, you know, she's got on her headphones, I'm in the front seat, and I got those headphones on. And you know, little planes are scary, aren't they? I mean, to me, they are, because they're the ones that crash. And so we're in this little plane, just the three of us, and now I've got control of the plane, which made me nervous, because I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, yeah, just pull it this way, pull it that way. And I'm like, well, what would happen if I really did this? He goes, oh, don't do that. And then it made me more nervous. And so I flew it for like 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, you can have it now. And he started laughing. He's like, no, keep going. And I think sometimes our life is like that little plane. And maybe we got Jesus in the plane, but we have the controls, but we don't really know what we're doing. And I want to encourage you tonight, one of two things. Man, maybe you're here and you've never yielded your life to Jesus for the first time. You've never done that. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that, to begin a relationship with God. through his son Jesus by yielding and surrendering your life. And that's what it really is. It's surrendering your life. It's surrendering control. It's not enough to just have Jesus in the plane, because when we got near to where we were going to be landing, we were going to be landing in this place in the Bahamas. And when we got near there, he was flying it. And I was very thankful because we flew over an airplane graveyard. It's like all these crashed airplanes. And we're flying over all these crashed planes. I'm like, what is that? He said, oh, those guys didn't make it far enough. Like, no big deal. I'm like, it's not like a flat tire, man. When you're in a plane, that's not good. At that point, I was glad I didn't have control. And I don't want you to crash your plane, man. I don't want you guys to wait till you're in a tailspin and then try to turn it over. Tonight, I think all of us should yield and surrender our lives to the Lord. Maybe for the first time, maybe the 10th time, maybe the 100th time. And I can tell you every single time I am a part of this, either here in my church or here at Youthquake, and I pray the prayer, it's real for me. And I'm surrendering again every single time, because somehow I look up and I got the controls again. And I give them back, and all of a sudden I look up and I got the controls again. Well, tonight, let's yield the controls over. Let's surrender our lives to the Lord. And let's let him use us to make a difference in our families. Maybe the declaration you need to make is that you're going to pray for your parents. You're going to pray for your brother, your sister. You're going to pray for some relative that's going through something, or some neighbor, a friend, somebody that you're close to. Maybe it's something just you're struggling with in your own life, a pattern that you have, a habit that you keep going back to, something you can't get free of, a relationship that's destructive and you need to get free of it. But to do that, to have the power to do that, you first need to yield and surrender to the Lord completely. So let's just close our eyes, just bow our heads. Father, I thank you for every person here right now, and I know that you know what each one of us is going through. Every teenager, every adult, you know exactly what we're struggling with. Lord, help us to not resist you and to not fight what you're doing in our lives. God, help us to trust you. Know, God, that no matter what, we know that you are good. And help us just to yield and surrender right now. If there's anything that's hindering us, any fear, any anxiety, Lord, I pray that you just give us the courage to step out beyond that. In Jesus' name. So I'm not going to drag this out real long, but if that's you tonight in some way, you know, sometimes you've got to do something to make a statement. And yeah, man, God can meet you right there in your chair, but sometimes taking that step and doing something to, and you know, it's what the liturgical church would call a sacrament. It's an sacramental thing to do, an outward and visible sign of something that's going on inside. You make that step. So I want to encourage you that if you need to make that kind of commitment tonight, would you just get out and come up here and let us pray for you? If you need to yield to the Lord for the first time, or you need to surrender your life to him one more time, just come on up here and we're going to pray for you. You guys can just stay right here. And what we're going to do is we're going to go into a song. And I know, because I've been in your seat, man, I know that some of you right now, your heart's racing and your hands are sweating. And if you're feeling that way, it's likely that the Holy Spirit's drawing you. And don't miss that opportunity. So as the band leads us in this song, if that's you and you need to be up here, just go ahead and come on up here. And you guys that are up here, you can just kneel down or sit down or whatever. And we're going to take a minute and just sing this song, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But if you're still in your seat and you need to come up here, adults, you too. Kids, teenagers, if you need to make a commitment to the Lord, let's just do that right now as the band leads us in this song. Okay, so you guys that are down here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I just want to encourage all of us to go ahead and pray this prayer. Just meet it in your heart and pray it out loud. And I'm going to give you the words, but it's you meaning it in your heart. So let's just bow our hearts to the Lord together. And I'll pray first, and then you repeat out loud. Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned against you. And I ask you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I believe you lived on this earth you died for my sins, that you rose and now live. I surrender to you. I yield to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Rule my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with power and passion to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Sean Yost and Blake Bennett of Youthquake Live. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to visit our website at youthquakelive.com for videos, resources, and more.